Tim Peel joins us. Tim, welcome to the show, my man. How you doing?
I'm good.
This was asked to us earlier. What do you make of the fact that the NHL allowed teams to negotiate with Evander Kane and then basically put the brakes on it now that they're going to investigate him? Like, shouldn't you have done the investigation first before you told teams they could negotiate with him?
Yeah, I'm confused by that because from what I understand, I don't think in his term he was terminated, and the reason that they terminated his contract was because of his visit to Canada. I don't think that was one of the issues at all in his termination. So, yeah, I'm like you, I'm confused by it and don't quite understand it, to be honest with you. And if I'm confident, you know, obviously saw my tweet yesterday, and, you know, I don't tweet. I'm not an insider, as some people were saying. I'm just an ex-referee, but I still have friendships in the league and players and GMs and people I know, and I've never tweeted about something like that before, and I was told that it was happening, and I was told that he was signing this morning, and it was getting done, and then they found out there was an investigation, and from what I understand, Kenny Holland's on the phone with the deputy commissioner today, and I don't know what happened. I don't know, this guy does deserve the right to make a living, and so where does it go from here? We'll see.
Yeah, it really, and that's the hard question, isn't it? Like, where does it go from here? Because, you know, I feel like the NHL doesn't make a lot of decisions quickly. You know, and you know, this guy is sitting there without a contract, and whether you think a player should be signed or not like him, you know, he is there sitting there. So, you know, is there a way to force feed this situation, or do you think the league will, you know, make things happen quicker, the decision-making process, rather than kind of what generally takes some time for this group?
You know, Gary and Bill, they're a lot smarter than us, and they do a great job there. It's a tough job. You know, they had to deal with the Kyle Beach stuff, and people criticize them for different decisions they made. But, you know, these guys are good people. They treated me exceptionally well while I worked for the league. And, you know, they don't make rash decisions. You know, should this have been dealt with a few weeks ago? Maybe, but I'm not in their shoes. I don't know when it came to their, you know, to the office of the commissioner. I don't know, you know, we don't know the details, but I'm sure they'll figure it out. And I can't see it lasting too long. You know, they did their due diligence on Evander. You know, what bothers me about social media is, you know, like, for example, from what I understand, he has full custody of his child, okay? Well, you don't get full custody in California as a male, okay? My point is, his ex-wife said a lot of things that I were about, and the league investigated, and they found that there was no validity to, you know, him being accused of gambling and so on. But that's the unfortunate part of the world we're living in, is people jump on that, they spew misinformation, and it really is unfortunate because, you know, I'm 55 years old. That's not the world that I grew up in. And, you know, I listen to the news, and that's where I got my news. And I just wish people would, you know, does he deserve another chance? Yeah, I think he does. You know, I know a lot of athletes in a lot of other sports that have done a lot worse than he has. So, yeah, the guy does deserve another chance.
Doesn't he also deserve, though, that has to show, like, he's willing to want to change? Because he has, you know, done some things, you know, in the own room, you know, lying about a COVID vaccination card. Like, at some point, there needs to be a little bit of self-recognition here that says, you know what, hey, I'm not, like, his own teammates, Tim, it's rare to have teammates saying, hey, we don't want the guy around, like, that obvious that, you know, there might be something where he's got to say, hey, like, I got to go to counseling. I don't know, maybe he already has, but I wrote it, to me, there should be something here, the team that signs and says, okay, Vander, like, we want to try to help you because you seemed like a little bit of a troubled person at times.
Right, right. No, exactly. You have to be held accountable for your own actions. And you know, going back to my incident when I made an error in judgment and said what I said on a 2-second audio clip, I from day one, I didn't blame anybody else. I blamed myself. I was stupid. It was a stupid comment that I made. I didn't mean it, and it tarnished my reputation. And so, but I made myself accountable and wanted to learn from it. And you're right. He, you know, at some point in time, an athlete, whether it be in hockey or any other sport, they have to, you know, we saw Antonio Brown the other day acting the way that he did. And, you know, you gotta be responsible to yourself and to the fans and your family. And I know a lot of people, was he immature in Buffalo and Atlanta? Yeah, he was. But I know a lot of good things about Evander Kane too. And I know a lot of good things about a lot of players that were immature when they came in the league, and it took them a time to figure it out. And maybe it's just taking him longer than it should. But, you know, this is an opportunity. If he does sign with Edmonton, and I strongly think that he will, it's a great opportunity for him to play with two of the best players in the world.
Tim Peel joins us, a longtime NHL referee. Tim, you know what? I don't want to bring up when you called me for a penalty that wasn't a penalty. I don't want to make this personal right now, but I'm sure you remember that one. I'm sure you wrote in your diary. But, you know, were there players that prior to you actually being on the ice and refereeing a player or calling one of their games, did you ever think, oh, man, this guy is just a clown? And then you actually had some interaction with him, like, maybe it changed your opinion of him?
100%. You know, there were a lot of players like that, and a lot of players that thought that I was a clown. And you remember back in the day, Streds, like, yeah, all the teams chartered, but you remember we would run into each other. You know, teams
sure.
would run into the officials at the bar after the game, and that's how you got to know guys. And yeah, there were a lot of guys that thought I was a clown, and then all of a sudden they meet you and you have a few beers and tell some stories, and they're like, you know what, he's a good guy. He wears a striped shirt, he gives me penalties, and he's probably the only person that's really said no to me my whole life. Nobody said no to me in junior. I was the best player. My agent never said no to me. My parents never said no to me. And here you have this guy saying, no, you've crossed the line. I'm giving you 2 minutes. So it's funny, but yeah, many, many guys like that. And I remember, you know, Kevin Bieksa, I loved Kevin, but he was tough, man. Like, he was a tough guy. He, you know, the type of game he played, and we battled for years. And then as we both got older during our career, we became friends and we respected each other. And there were many, many guys like that.
Tim Peel joins us, analyst at DailyFaceoff.com. And now, Tim, did you have, when you ref, did you have your name on the back of your jersey early in your career? And then they never did?
No, I think they changed it in 94. The commissioner had come over from the NBA, and the NBA had numbers. And that was the work stoppage, if I'm correct, in maybe it was 89, and the referees had a work stoppage. And a lot of guys back then, Don Koharski, Bill McCreary, Carey Fraser, that, you know, they had names. They were big names in Canada. They were as well known as the players. And I'm not so sure that the NHL liked that. They had a lot of support from the public back then, and I'm not so sure that the league liked that so many people knew these names. And it's unfortunate, because now they just, you know, yell at you, you know, at your, they still know your name. But, I liked it when, you know, Magoo, I'd work with in Edmonton, and everyone knew Mick, and he was such a big personality and a character. And it was fun working with those guys, because everybody in the league knew who they were. And I think it brought a little bit of style and panache to the game. I liked it.
Yeah, you know what, and it seemed different, especially when the guys didn't have to wear helmets. Like, I think of Carey Fraser and those type of guys, and their hair was really done well, or it was a little bit all over. And you know, I look at a guy like Wes McCauley, he brings a little bit of it. And I remember the first time I saw it, I'm like, I really liked it. You know, 2 minutes for fighting or whatever, you know, like, it adds a little personality. And I don't think it's not a, like, I don't think it really changes the game or the moment. Like, I don't think anyone's really upset about it. To me, it's entertaining.
It is. It is. I completely agree. And, you know, Frazier, when I know Gary very well, and one of the saddest days is when the NHL instituted that he had to wear a helmet because there was nobody any prouder than his hair. Like, he would spend at least 20 minutes on his hair every game, and it looked good. It actually still does. I played golf with him a couple months ago, and it still does. But no, Strudge, you're right about Wes. Like that Detroit game the other day, Nicky Redman and their color guy.
Ken Cal.
Pardon?
Ken Cal?
Yes, yes. I don't know if you saw the replay. They were like, way to go, Wes. That was awesome. Like, they got, the announcers got pumped up about it. And I talked to Wes the next. He's like, I don't know if the league's going to like it. I said, Wes. And the NHL Public Relations tweeted it out. They have 6 million followers. Trust me, NHL likes it, okay? They're getting recognition. People are watching this. Now, guys have to be careful because there's only a couple guys that can do that. Wes is one of the few that can do that. Other guys, I don't know, maybe they should just stay in their lane and let Wes be the guy that does that.
But yeah, well, it's authentic with him, right?
Yeah.
I think that's he's not trying.
No, if you know his personality at all, that's the way he is. Exactly. He's not trying. And he jokes and he says, you know, the kids tease him and go, oh, Dad, you're all over Twitter again. And they laugh about it. And it's fun. Oh, and Wes, and I even tweeted it out. I said, not only is this entertaining, I said, oh, by the way, he's one of the best refs in the league. So we can back it up too, right?
Yeah. But I think what it is, guys, I think what we're talking about is it's subtle enough that it doesn't impact the game, but it adds to the game. You know, do you know
exactly.
I think there's a difference there for
right.
a referee, isn't there, Tim?
Correct. You know, he's not making it about himself. He's not, the rest of the game isn't about himself. He doesn't go out of the way to influence the game and call penalties to make it all about him. He just uses that one incident to say, you know what, I'm going to put a little mustard on the hot dog here and make this, get a few laughs from everybody. And because the rest of the game, you probably wouldn't even know Wes was on the ice. He does such a good job. And the players love him.
Tim, have you heard anything? We've heard a lot about, how many players on teams, you know, they've had to postpone games because of, you know, teams just couldn't ice lineups. In the World Junior bubble, there was a lot of officials who tested positive. Are the NHL, are the officials good? Like, is it a concern on what's going to happen if all of a sudden officials start, getting thrown in quarantine? How's that work?
Yeah, no, but it's always a concern. Our guys, we're going back to, 2 years ago when, we can't get together at the hotel. They're not allowed to have lunch together. They're not allowed to go restaurants together. Like when I was working a couple of years ago, well, COVID, you know, it was all door streets and we weren't able to restaurants and you weren't able to ride in the same car to the arena. So they're doing all that so that if somebody on that crew does get COVID, that they can say, hey, the other guys, we're not with them, and we can keep the other three guys working. Because I know, a couple of weeks ago they had at least 15 guys out, and I think it would have been a problem supplying officials, having 4 officials for every game if we hadn't had so many games canceled. And it kind of helped Stephen Wacom and the officiating department, because so many games were canceled, they were able to fulfill it and fulfill the games. And I think with so many, you know, for example, I live in St. Louis here, and I was told this morning that 19 guys have now had COVID. Well, that's unfortunate, but it's good for them because now they don't have to get tested for another 90 days, right? And if you're going to get it as a team, you want to get it in January and December. You don't want to be getting it in March and April. And so it's the same thing with the officials. I think they'll be fine. I think enough of them have had it now that they don't have to get tested for another 3 months.
Tim, always good to catch up with you, man. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Sound good. Good talking to you, Sred. Take care.